Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your great and mighty love with which you have loved us. We give you all the praise for your Holy Spirit that you have so generously given to us to know you better, to gain confidence and assurance in your word of what you've done for us. We give you the praise. And Lord, again, as we get into your word today, we ask that in every heart there is clarity. In every heart there is faith and belief. In every heart, you know, faith arises. And that ignorance, unbelief, confusion dematerializes to the light and the power that is in your word. In the name of Jesus. We give you the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Right. So we are starting a new teaching today. We've called it Innumerable. And the idea is not to look for what is not lost. You know, I've met some friends who are just looking for something that is not lost in the scripture. All right? That's not the idea. But the idea is to be able to have an understanding of everything that is ours in Christ Jesus. All right? We're going to get into the thoughts shortly. But before that, I want us to read from Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Romans chapter 8, verse 32, you know, painting a picture of the fact that God has given us all things, right? That with the giving, let's read it. He says, he who did not spare his own son, pay attention to the details there, but delivered him up for us all. Now look at the second part. He says, how shall he with him, all right? So with the giving of Jesus, Bible talks about God with the giving of Jesus also, look at the details there, freely give us all things. So it means that with the giving of Jesus, it wasn't just Jesus in that sense alone that we receive or received, all right? With the giving of Jesus comes other things, blessings, important things. Better things, Bible says, great things that the believer should know. We may not need to project it. Of course, we can project it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It talks about the fact that God has blessed us with all, not just a singular. It says all. It says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What has he done? He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Look at that. Every. Talking about not just one, all right? There are contents. There are things that has been attributed or that has been accrued to the believer upon salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. Upon salvation. Philemon. Let's do Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. We're going to do some good Bible study today. Let's get ready. Praise God. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. Look at it. He says that the sharing, or KJV says that the communication of your faith may become effective by the, look at that. Pay attention again. Look at it. I mean, we have scripture telling us that there are things, all things. So what, you know, the idea today is to be able to get, or the idea of this series is to be able to understand some of those things. And of course, all that we do in our Christian journey, in our walk with the Father, is to better understand, appreciate, acknowledge those things that have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Look at it again. See what it says. It says that, it says, by the acknowledgement of every, look at it again, every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. All right? So there are good things that are in you, that are in us, because we are in Christ Jesus. With the giving of Jesus comes good things. Come every good things. Comes, you know, these things that we are looking at now. Now, but then something before we leave this particular one. It says that we become effective when we acknowledge those things. So like I said, it's not looking for what is not lost. What is the second eye of an angel? What is the leg? That's not the idea. Okay, what is the inner corner of the holies of holies? Not the idea, but the idea for us is to be effective by our appreciation and the acknowledgement of those things that are in us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. We now have the Holy Spirit that guides us to understand. First Corinthians 2, 12. That helps us to appreciate those things. That helps us to understand those. Look at it. It says now, hallelujah. It says we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Why? One of the reasons that we have the spirit, the Holy Spirit, what does it do? It says that we might know. So the believer should know. Similar to what we taught, you know, in our last series about knowing, and that knowing produces growth, and that growth produces service. All right? God wants us to know. And one of the things that the Spirit of God does in the believer, all right, is for him to know. Know what? Project management, okay. Maybe some chemistry or some accounting. Oh, that is all right. But look at the details here. Yes, that we may know the things. Look at it again. Plural. There are things. I'm trying to get out of this. There are things. And look at it again. It says that has been freely. That's the second that we're going to see freely. That has been freely given to us. So it's a free gift. All right? It's not cheap. The Father is a free gift. We didn't pay anything for it. It was going to make it cheap. Somebody died for it. In fact, God died for it. All right? But it says, but it's been freely given to us by God. So we have the Spirit of God. All right? So we've been brought into things upon or with our salvation. And we should know those things. And one of those things, that's the bedrock of these teachings in this series. All right? So salvation accompanying, or salvation has accompanying realities. What I'm trying to say is that salvation is not just, I'm saved. He saved me and washed me in his blood. True. All right? But when we're saying that, that statement is more than just he saved me. All right? With that salvation comes realities. Believers, we've been brought into some realities that we must know, and that the Spirit of God helps us to know, you know, as we grow, as we teach ourselves in God's word. Let me read something that I wrote here. That salvation is not just an empty, isolated event. That, oh, I'm saved, all right? Because it didn't affect our physical structure. Maybe I didn't grow taller. I didn't grow shorter. I didn't do it. No, that's not the metrics. That's not how we judge salvation. All right? We judge salvation by the word of God. And we are saying that it's not just an empty event or something that happened, just one of those things. I woke up again this morning, praise God. No, there is more to the believer that is in Christ Jesus. There are realities, a whole world of reality, a whole world of possibilities for the believer. All right? And Bible wants us to know those things that have been freely given to us in Christ Jesus. Salvation did not only change who we were. Salvation brought us into the things we did not have before. It didn't just change us from sinners to now, it did. We were dead in our sins. Yeah, it did not just, that's not just what salvation did for us. All right? It brought us into a new reality, new things in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And in this world, in Christ, there are things we have received, realities we have come into, blessings that now belongs to us. I'll take that again. In Christ Jesus, there are things we have received. There are realities that we have come into. Hallelujah. And the blessings that now belongs to us. Just like someone that got married. You got married yesterday. Nothing changed technically. Nothing. You know, you didn't grow higher. But there's a new world of reality. It's a new thing entirely. All right. Let me brag small. Just small a bit. I became a citizen of the United Kingdom. Nothing changed. Okay. All right. But then I tell you, it's a new world of reality. It's a new world entirely. Hallelujah. Because of the possibilities that status now confers on you. All right. I can go. All right. Let's all right. As a point, I'm thinking maybe I change my name from I'll now be Judge. Praise God. But then the fact is that, you know, being a believer has brought us into a new world of reality. Hallelujah. And you know, it pains me when believers don't appreciate that. And we just want to get into that understanding today, as you know, in this series. Hallelujah. So we've come into some blessings. Therefore, the Christian life is not just about being saved. It is also about knowing what came with our salvation. Salvation is not just being out of darkness or being out of the kingdom of darkness. It is also about being in. I'll tell that again. Salvation, all right, brought us out, no doubt. But salvation also brought us in. It is out of darkness and into the light. So there's no middle way, all right? We are into some realities in the kingdom of our Father. We are not just trying to make these realities true, all right? First of all, we want to know and acknowledge and understand what God has already said became ours in Christ Jesus. We're not trying to make it real or, you know, make it possible or trying to work out. Don't forget, we read it. It has been freely given. Not it will be. Not it may be. Look at it. Past tense. What things that have been past tense freely. So it's been given. All right. We are not trying to make it work. We are trying to understand it. Let me give some tiny bit more, you know, personal example. I don't like, but it's okay. All right. So we moved to a new, you know, residence, you know, not too long ago. All right. And, you know, it was just last month or so that I realized that there's a big loft in the other apartment. And I've been there for months. All right, where we can keep things. All right, but it's there. It's been mine all the while. We're struggling. Where should we keep that? Whereas there's a big space up there. All right, that we can keep items. All right, and it's just there. We didn't know about it. All right, we don't want to be like that as believers. We want to know everything that has been freely given to us in Christ Jesus. And that's the essence of this study. So we're going to see some of them. Just some. Then from the some, we just pick one that we've called innumerable. So let's see, all right? And this will form our study in this series. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to have a very wonderful, exciting times of study in this series. Look at it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18 to 21. And maybe we'll take it in twos. If we can fit everything together, fine. If not, all right, let's take it in twos. Praise God. Now, look at it. So he's telling us some things here. He says, for you have not come to the mountains that may be, to the mountain that may be touched, and that burn with fire, and to blackness, and to darkness and tempest. See, the writer of Hebrews was making a case here that, and he was referring to what happened in Exodus chapter 9, I think. All right. Yeah. Exodus chapter 19 or 9, thereabout. He was talking about the things that happened when on Mount Sinai. All right. When God attempted to make a covenant with the children of Israel. All right. God told them to sanctify themselves, that he was going to come. And he came with so much trembling, with so much, you know, so much blackness. There was black smoke, there was cloud and all of those. There was a lot of drama, a loud voice and all of those. But the writer of Hebrew was telling us that that's not where we've come to now as a believer. In the New Testament, it says, let's read on. We're going to read now. All right. So it says, for you have not come unto the mountain, that's Mount Sinai, that may be touched. So this is not a physical thing, like we've said. All right. That may be burned with fire, and to blackness, and darkness, and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words. So that those who had, look at it, those who had it, begged that the words should not be spoken to them anymore. Verse 20 and 21. Let's read it. So what it says. It says, for they could not endure. So why did they? This is the very first time. And we're going to get into that later on. For they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as even beasts, as animals, touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was a sight that even Moses, the lawgiver, Moses, the mediator of the law, all right? What did he say? I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. Now, notice what he said. Even Moses said, this is scary. This is not, all right? And that's what people will practice and let's do the law. But then, he says, that's not where we came to. Don't forget, in verse 9, he says, that we did not come to this arrangement. That's this not our arrangement, all right? Now, you're going to pay attention now. Look at it in verse 22. 22 and 23. Let's put it together in twos, all right? Thank you. Now, pay attention. You're talking about our realities in Christ Jesus. It says, but you have come. Now, so verse 19 says, you did not come to that, but we have come to this. All right? I just read that verse 19 to 21 to give it context, because this is the point. He says, but you have come to Mount Zion. Woo! So we did not come to Mount Sinai. We're going to do Mount Zion next week. All right? But he says, we did not come to Mount Sinai. We've come to Mount Zion. We have come to Mount Zion. Now, it says to the city of the living God. That is where we've come to. I'm going to skip 20, 22, because we are coming back there. Because that's the point of us. Verse 23, all right? It says to the general assembly and the church and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. So that is where we have come to. So when we say that the believer is registered in heaven, that's where we've come to. We will not be registered. We are being registered. All right? That is our reality. It says we have come to that church, that is the church of Christ, the firstborn. First, we've done this before, the first to rise from the dead. All right, he is the first to be born again from the dead. All right, he is the prototype. That's the prototype. Okay, is our kind, is our example, is our prototype. All right, we have come to that type. So everyone on this mountain Zion now, we are of that firstborn. All right, and we are registered in heaven. I like this next one. He says, "We have come to God. Glory to God. I have come to God. Ah, praise God." Oh, now, he says, we have come to God. Look at that. I have come to God. Hi! Now, all right, we'll take that at another time so that we don't get excited. And he says, we have come to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. So what I'm saying is that we have come to God. All right, we have come to the spirits of men that are made perfect. So who are those that are made perfect? The believers. All right, the believers, you and I today will be made perfect by the Spirit of God, and we have come to that congregation. Let me just say, all right, we may not be aware, but we have come to the spirits of men made perfect. That's why the church of God and the assemblies of believers, we don't joke with it. Hallelujah. All right, talking about the spirits of men, Abraham, David, the righteous men, all right, believers all over the world that has gone to be with the Lord, all right, their spirits are here. I don't want to sound spooky, and I'll quickly move away from that, all right, meaning that we are not alone. When I said there are realities, things that have been attributed to us, so it's not just one of those things, it's not just drama or I just want to do, no, all right, we have come to this reality. All right, now let's go back to to 24. Let's do 24. Oh, look at that again. He says, we have come to Jesus, the mediator of this new covenant. All right, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Now, let me just quickly clarify this blood of Abel. All right, because people have thought about the blood of Abel that, it was the blood that Cain, his brother, shed. But that's not the blood of Abel, all right? If you read in, let's project Hebrews 11:4, all right? It began that thought that Abel, by faith, Abel made sacrifice. Hebrews 11:4. He said, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, all right? So that offering, all right, is the blood of animals, all right? Cows or calf or sheep or, all right, that was the blood he was offering, all right? Now, he was killed by his brother, that is true, but that's not the better blood, all right? The blood that Abel shed, all right, the blood of Abel is the blood, is the same blood of sacrifices, the things they were doing. So it wasn't the one Moses, you know, the law. All right. Now that was the blood that was shed. He says, we have come to, of course, what Abel was doing in his time, all right, the substance of it, all right, will now be Christ Jesus, all right, which makes it better than the blood of Abel. Hallelujah. All right. So the blood, so let's go back. So don't forget, it's a thought, because when you read things like that, just go, this same writer spoke about Abel. All right. It's not just talking about Abel in chapter 12. So you need to go back. So he has spoken about Abel and his sacrifice in a light just a chapter before. That gives you context that the blood he was talking about, all right, the blood of Abel is the blood that is shed. That is a prototype, that is a type of the blood, all right, of Christ Jesus. And it is about forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. All right. So, yeah, the blood is shed for sacrifice. And it's for forgiveness of sin. And Jesus is the substance of that blood, of that sacrifice. Right? Now, praise God. So, let's go back to our Hebrews chapter 2, chapter 12. Talking about what we have come to. Hallelujah. We're going to study some scriptures today. Praise God. Let's move faster. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. 22 now. Let's just go to 22. Hebrews 12, 22. So it says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. All right. Of course, don't forget, he said, we've come to that mount. We've not come to a mountain that can be touched. But he's saying that we've come to, it's an heavenly Jerusalem. We're going to talk more about Jerusalem, about Zion next week, okay? Now, it says, to the heavenly Jerusalem, look at the point now. He says, but we have come to an innumerable, countless, all right? Wait, wait, it says uncountable. We have come to innumerable companies of angels. That's what we have come to. Hallelujah. That's where the believer has come to. All right. And we now want to study the ministry or these characters. Who are these characters? Of course, we've talked about the spirit of men that have been made perfect. We've come to God. We've come to Jesus. We've come to a better covenant. All right. Now, there's a character in the kingdom, in our salvation, that we've come unto. All right. It says we have come to innumerable companies of angels. And that's the crux. That's the bone of our study today. All right. So we have a company. Please, can you help me tell your neighbor left and right, we have a company. We are not alone. I am not alone. Hallelujah. Amen. Bible, right? We have come to it. All right. We have companies. So don't never, are we, you know, we should tell the children as well. We'll make sure that the teachers, they are taught, they are not alone. All right. So I'm afraid. No, you can't be afraid. See, with a believer, all right, is a company of innumerable companies of angels. Hallelujah. Now let's run faster. Okay. So we've come to a company of countless angels. Now, it now gives us a responsibility to know this character, this character that we've come to. All right. We've been talking about God, about Jesus, what he has done. All right. And all. But it's important for us to understand as well, because the Bible says we've come to this company of angels as well. To know, because not knowing brings us to some different, you know, ideas about angels, about who they are, and all of those. So we want to study these realities that is ours. Hallelujah. And we should not forget that these characters, they've been, as you know, they are part of what we have in the New Testament. So we're going to do a study of Hebrews chapter 1 and chapter 2. We're just going to pick it verse by verse, all right, and extract some things from there today. And hopefully we have some time. We just pack it together, and we're going to continue next week. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. Hallelujah. Let's start from there. So we're going to go. So we're going to be going, you know, verse 1, verse 2. So I'll direct it. Now look at it. He says, having, of course, if you remember that we use this scripture when we're studying the name of Jesus, all right, that Jesus got his name by inheritance, all right, he obtained a more excellent name than they all. So actually, I was like, should we take this series immediately after that? But we are taking it now anyway. So it's, if you can call it, it's a sequel to the name of Jesus' series. Okay, it's so, because when you pray, when you say something, how did they work? How does it work? Praise God. Yeah. All right. So talking about Jesus there, it says the Son haven't become so much better than the angels. All right. He calls Jesus. I'm just trying to, because we are jumping to the middle of a thought there. Verse 2, verse 3 talks about, verse 3 particularly talks about Jesus Christ being the express image of God. So that Son, all right, is now saying here that he became so much better than the angel. So he will now begin, but than the angels, he will now begin to clarify, to say some things about angels that I want us to study. All right, now look at it. He said he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. The day there, they are the angels, all right? So we say Jesus Christ, the Son, obtained a more excellent name than the angels. Now, if you know what we studied, what we said about this study, it was by inheritance, and that inheritance, all right, is our joint inheritance, all right? So in studying about Jesus, or in studying about the Son, know that we are studying about sons, for which you and I, we are part of that inheritance as well. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, verse 5. So, number one, about angels. Sorry, let's go back to verse 4. Verse 4. Number one about angels is that sons are better. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sons are better than angels. Mm-hmm. All right? It says when he says that, having become so much better than the angels. So, the sons, all right, we are better. Can we agree on that? Is a Bible study, right? Better than the angels. Now it says we again have a more excellent name. What's the name? Authority. So we have an authority than they all. Mm-hmm. Can we agree quickly on that? Yeah. Hallelujah. All right. Like I said, it's going to be a Bible study. We're just going to see the point there. So sons are better. Hallelujah. Then sons, we've inherited a more excellent name, a better authority than they. Is that okay? That's us. Now, we're just trying to put angels in their place, put the sons in his place, all right? Or in their place, in our place as well. Verse 5. Verse 5. Let's look. Now, let's just do 2 so that we can be fast. I was going to do it. Let's do 5 and 6. 5 and 6. Look at it. For which of the angels, don't forget, again, another study, another comment about angels. For which of the angels did he ever say? So, that he there is God, that God did not at any point say, that you are my son. Hallelujah. But then, some people called angels, we're going to study, they called angels sons of God in the Bible. But the writer of Hebrew is saying God did not ever say that. We're going to get there. All right? Now, he says, today I'll be his father, you'll be my son. So again, we are sons. Angels, in that sense, they are not sons. Sons have inheritance. Mm-hmm. All right? Angels do not have inheritance. All right? Now, this, we're just trying to do some Bible understanding about angels, angel worship, angel this, angel that. We're going to see. Let me just jump a little bit. There are 2 names of angels that Bible gives, Michael and Gabriel. All other names, they are extra biblical. Okay? We don't know Angel Uriel. I don't know where they got that name from. Praise God. Okay, we only have 2, okay? But then let's just move faster. Praise God. All right? So God did not at any time call them sons, but God did call Jesus the Son. All right? It says, this is my beloved Son. This is my Son. All right? And by inheritance, we are sons. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed unto us, that we should be called the sons of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, we are not angels. They've got their place. We've come to them. I'm just trying to clarify some things this morning. Amen. Amen. Verse 6. Let's do verse 6. All right? Look at it. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let the angels worship him. So the angels worship the Son, not God. Praise God. This worship here, serve, worship, obey instructions. All right. The angels, all right, they worship. So God, when he brought the firstborn Christ Jesus into the world again. So when he says again there, it was here once by Mary. All right, incarnation, the only begotten, but he brought him again as a firstborn from the dead back into the world. This is resurrection. All right, when that upon resurrection, he said, "Let the angels worship him." All right, so don't forget all that we are saying about Jesus Christ also pertains to you. So we don't worship angels; angels actually worship us. Right? Praise God. So he says, "Let the angels worship him." So all of those people that worship angel, you just want to know, where is that coming from exactly? Bible is telling us that, hey, what God said about the firstborn, don't forget this firstborn. Yes, Christ is the firstborn, but he's the prototype. He's the type. And every other ones that we believe after him will follow that type. Hallelujah. All right? So when we say that there are things that have been attributed to the believer, these are the details. Hallelujah. Now, let's move forward quickly. Verse 7 and 8. Let's put it together. 7 and 8. I encourage you, please, when you get home, just read Hebrews chapter 1 and chapter 2 again. Look at it again. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers flames of a flame of fire. Of course, what he was talking about here is those angels, they are spirits. They are not physical. All right? Now, He was further clarifying the angels to say that, hey, those angels are ministers. All right? Meaning they are servants. They minister, they serve. We're going to get to the details shortly. All right? So angels, they are servants, they are ministers, and they are flames of fire. Flames of fire means that they are strong, they are swift. All right? They have capacity. Hallelujah. Now when he says, you know, I've seen people say, oh, ministers, it's ministers flame of fire. That's not us. That was talking about angels. All right? They are flames. We are not the flame of fire. All right? We are not the one that he made flames of fire. All right? If you look at it in this context, it says, he made the angels spirits. All right? And it's, of course, those angels, they are his ministers. We are ministers in another context, but in this context here, all right, if you notice, he was talking about angels throughout, and he's going to continue talking about angels. So it's not, he didn't just, in the middle of that thought, put other ministers. All right? Of course, this thought will continue to chapter 2. So let us know he was talking about angels. So here, he's talking about the angels, that they are ministers. His ministers here, his angels, they are flames of fire. All right? We're going to know about that shortly. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Look at it again. So to the Son has got a throne for which we are joint heirs, for which we are seated together with Christ in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. All right. So sons has got a throne. Sons has got a kingdom. In other words, sons, we believers, in that sense, we have dominion. We have authority that the angels do not have. Are we together? Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. So sons have got thrones. All right. Sons have got authority. Okay, and that the angels do not have. Let's run quickly to verse 13 and 14. You know, it just went forward to clarify more in 9 to that. 13 and 14, thank you. But so which one, can you say again? So it was the conversation about angels still continue. So it was making a comparison about the Son and angels. And we've read in verse 4 that name, that sonship was by inheritance. That's how we came in. All right. So whatever we are reading about sons, about thrones here now, it's about us as well. Praise God. Now, he says again, to which of the angels has he ever? Wait, look at it. Wait, he said, have I ever? Has he ever said, sit at my right hand? Of course, we now know that we are sat together with Christ Jesus. Praise God. All right. He says, as we are sat at, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your food. So again, the angels don't sit. They are ministers. Hallelujah. They are waiters. I'm saying, can I have your order, sir? They don't sit.
I am
No, 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 no. They don't sit. We are the one that is sitting. Glory to God. Amen. See, I've got some things that I want to go on. So he says, sit. So we are the ones sitting. They are the ministers. Now, in another sense, we are ministers to God in that they have sent us to serve him. We did that last time. Giving, prayers. That's, we minister in that sense. Worship to God. But in this sense, look at it. All right. He says, he didn't tell any of the angels to sit. He told them, all right. He says, sit at my right hand. So we are the ones sitting, angels standing. Now, sitting in this sense does not mean sitting and crossing your legs. Sitting means we are in the place of authority. We are in the place of authority, dominion, kingdom, throne, scepter. Hallelujah. All right. So, so ministers stand. All right. Now look at it. Pay attention. Look at verse 14. It's so clear to the point. And it says, are they not all ministering? Of course, you can see again now. Are they not talking about angels, the day here? Are they not all? Look at it. All of them. All the ministers, all the angels, are they not ministering spirits? All right, sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation. Hallelujah! Glory to God. All right, KJV says they are heirs from that word inherit. To inherit. What is what's an inheritance? Number one, inheritance is an inheritance. But let's explain. You know those, what's biology? Biology. Praise God. All right, now let's now define biology. Let's now define inheritance. Something you did not work for. Something you just stepped into. Someone, you know, parents or somebody else worked for it. You just stepped in. See, he said, we will inherit salvation and we have angels. Praise God. The reason I know this gospel is possible on this island is not by suit or by bragging. We've come to a reality of provisions that make things happen. We're going to get to the point. What did they do? That's not what we're doing today. We're going to stick on that as we proceed in this. We just want to clarify this. You know, who are angels? Who are sons? Who are they? Let's put them in their place. All right. Now they've got a place. You know, there's a way you can say, let me put them in his place. I'll put you. No, that's not what we're saying. You know, they've got an active role. We're going to see their active roles, even in the New Testament. They came to rescue Peter. Hallelujah. They came to, they helped Jesus. They strengthened Jesus. We're going to get to that point in this study. All right. But before we get to it, let's just get to know what they, we have come to innumerable companies of angels. Hey, let's get to understand these characters first. Let's put them in their place. Let's know our place as well. Hallelujah. All right. So, but we have said they are ministers to those of us that now we will not inherit salvation. We have inherited salvation. All right. So they are ministering to us. We are seated in the place of authority. They are ministers to those that will inherit salvation. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Let's move forward a bit. Chapter 2. Of course, like we said in this, you know, in our teachings, the Bible was not written in chapters and verses, so it's still a continuous thought. It flows into chapter 2. So let's do chapter 2. Let's just chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. We're just studying Hebrews chapter 2, 1 and 2. Therefore, we must now look at it again. So it says, therefore, when it says that they are ministering spirits to those of us that have inherited salvation, it says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, all right, lest we drift away. We don't want to drift away from the truth. For if the words, again, it continued by angels, you know, talking about, it says, if the words spoken through angels, we're going to talk about this later on as well, proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. What he was saying is that, you know, let me just give us that reference. So, the law, we're talking about the law, how the law was given. So let's take this reference that we will not read it because of our time. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 2. Deuteronomy 33, verse 2. Acts chapter 7, verse 33. Sorry, verse 53. Acts chapter 7, 53. Galatians chapter 3, verse 19. Galatians 3, 19. All of those were talking about how the angels facilitated the law. All of those laws, okay? That one says that the law came through a mediator. All right. And that mediator is not the mediator of the new covenant, is the mediator of the law. All right. Bible says that Acts, it was Stephen that said in Acts chapter 7:53, it says the law was given through the hands of the angel. So that's the context here. Right? Say if the words, that's the law, all right, that came through the angels, it was steadfast. They kept it for a space of time, and every transgression, anybody that misses that law, they will get their reward. All right. Now, verse 3. That's the point. Let's not move on quickly now to verse 3. Verse 3. Thank you. He says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Meaning that we've been saved from the words of the angels. Let's go back to, please, let's project chapter 2 and 3 alone. Let's study this properly. Thank you. So we have the words of the angels. If the words spoken through angels, all right, we have that, and we said that's the law. That's the giving of the law. All right. If it's so steadfast, meaning if you miss it, then this will happen. All right. It's not saying that, hey, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Meaning we've been saved from that law. We've been saved from that details. All right. Now let's not take too much time on that, because that's not the point. Which was at the first began to be spoken of the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who had him. All right. Now let's do verse 5. Praise God. Look at it again. Look at it. Talking, so that conversation about angels continued, right? What? For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. Did you see that? Let's say that again. He says, for God, in his arrangement of salvation, don't forget, this world to come will be our world. All right, will be for those that have inherited salvation. All right, he says that world that was coming in Christ Jesus, this salvation, it wasn't put in subjection to angels. Does that make sense? All right, meaning they don't have authority. We are the one that have authority. We're going to see as we progress. So it was not put in subjection to angels. All right, meaning they cannot instruct. They can only inform. Thus says the Lord to Mary. But they can't give us instruction. We have the Spirit of God that instructs us. We have the Word of God that instructs us. All right? So angel, our world is not in subjection to angels. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's move faster from there. Okay? So they don't have authority. They cannot instruct, but they can inform. They can do things on our behalf. Now, verse 6 and 7. We're going to do this together. So let's put 6, 7 together. All right? Now, if you notice all the things we've been discussing about the angels, their authority, the sons are better, we are in, but verse 6 seems to be somehow contradictory, and we're going to clarify. It's not contradictory, but if we just read it like that, then it may appear contradictory. But let's say, but one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, all right, or the son of man, that you take care of him. Verse 7. You have made him a little lower than the angels. How come? With all of this we've been saying, from verse chapter 1, we have authority. They don't have authority. We are better than them. All right? We have, all right? But then he said, a little lower. How? All right? So, and I just want to quickly clarify that. So when he says a little lower here, all right, you have crowned him, that's man, with glory and honor, and you have set him over the works of it. So talking about man, so the question should be, in what ways, how is man little lower than the angel? All right? Because it won't be, based on all that we've been reading since, it won't be as per authority. It won't be as per being better. It won't be as per inheritance. It won't be as the dominion that we have. All right, we've just said in verse 5 that they are not the world. This world is not in subjection to them. We've read about all of those. So how is the being lower? Hallelujah. And the answer to that is very simple. Praise God. Okay, so we should ask how, and we can explain. Let's go to Psalm 103. We're going to put it together shortly. Psalm 103, Verse 20. Psalm 103, verse 20. We're talking about how the angels, how they are strong. Praise God. I just want us to see that together. So the question is how? How is it that the man is a little lower? What was he talking about? Is he in the place of authority? Look at it. He says, bless the Lord, you his angels. Look at it. Who excel in strength, who do his words, and hidden, all right, the voice of his word. This is again going to help. But the point I want to bring out here is they excel in strength. All right? So it is in strength and their abilities, all right, that they are more than man. All right? Not in authority. So there is authority and there is power. Okay? Have you seen those presidents and their bodyguards? Or their security men? The president may look like that, all right? But the security men, they are huge, hefty, very strong, all right? That's an example that I can give about angels. They are strong, they are accompanying, they excel in strength, hallelujah. But you won't see the security personnel in the Federal Executive Council saying, I have an opinion. How? You don't have any opinion here. Maybe it's a joke, maybe it's a comedy. Okay? All right? Yeah, the one that has got the authority may not necessarily be big in size, but it's got the authority. Hallelujah. They don't have the key. All right? We are the one that have the key. We have the answer. We have dominion. Believers, sons. Hallelujah. So it is in that they are mighty. And of course, we're going to talk about them shortly now. They are made for that purpose. They are made to execute the power, the commandment of God. They are made that swift, that fire, that so that they respond to the commands of God. Hallelujah. All right. So while the angels may have incredible stature and strength that man does not have, we don't have such power. Hallelujah. We don't have such ability. All right. In that we are flesh and blood. This is the little lower. This is the little lower. All right. Think about it. Let's project verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. Let's put 8 and 9 together. Let's put 8 and 9 together. Hebrews, thank you. All right, so let's now read together now. Let's now, with that I've explained, let's read together. It says, but you have put all things in subjection under his feet. That's man, all right? For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing. That's man that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things under him. Look at it again. Look at him again. So this is where we should ask the question. But we see Jesus. Jesus also was made a little lower. What was he saying? How was Jesus made a little lower? Did he lose his authority? He didn't lose the authority. You will see, in that he became flesh and blood. Yeah. That is the little lower. In that he came as a baby. He said, Mommy, I need to eat.
Mommy, I'm hungry.
Mommy, I'm hungry. Ah, God became flesh and blood. That is the little lower. That is the least. God, I need to use the toilet at some point. Jesus, that was God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, this is the mystery of godliness that God manifested in the flesh. You know, don't forget, we've talked about I am that I am, all right? He became that little lower. Now, that little lower, he didn't lose his authority. He just became a form. Philippians chapter 2, he took the form of a servant. Hello, that is the little lower. It is in that form. But the angels, they know that is the man they answer to. That is the one whose authority they obey. Hallelujah. And by our faith and our belief in Christ Jesus, we have been brought into that inheritance as well. Praise God. All right. So let's now read it. All right. So we see Jesus. who was made little lower and was crowned with honor, with glory, that he, by the grace of God, might, can you see why? Might taste death for everyone. Verse 10 and 11. Let's do it so that we can now read it together. When we talk about the little lower, all right, it's not in authority, all right? It is in strength, in capacity. It is a limitation of the flesh and blood. Hallelujah. All right? For it was fitting for him, that's Christ Jesus, for whom are all things and by whom are all... Can you see what he was saying? This is the man, this is the God that made all things, that for whom all things were made, in bringing many sons, that's me and you, in bringing us to glory, all right? To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering, for both... Hallelujah. For both he who sanctifies, that's Jesus, and those who have been sanctified are all of one. For which reason he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Verse 12 and 13. Put 14. Sorry. I think we can take 14 more. All right. Thank you. Saying, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will sing praise to you, and again I will put my trust in him and all. Now look at it. The point here is verse 14. Let's go to verse 14. All right. It says, inasmuch as the children, we are the children, okay, we've partaken of flesh and blood, that's the little lower, okay, he himself likewise shared in the same. He became little lower in that he picked on flesh and blood, that through death, he did that for a purpose, so that he was only by him becoming flesh and blood that he could save us. He was man that will save man. Jesus became man, became little lower than angel, all right? So that through death, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Do you get the point? So that's that little lower. So that's, you know, people read that place, oh, little lower than angel. No. He's talking about the physical structure and physical ability of the structure of angels. So let's now begin to put all of this together. We'll pick it up next week. Okay. So a little lower than angels, he's talking about physical appearance. Of course, don't get it, you know, confused. Angels, they are not naturally physical. We can talk about that later on. Okay. In appearance, but not in authority. Being greater in strength does not mean greater in authority. What we are trying to say, we are the one that have the authority. Hallelujah. All right. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 points. We're based on all that we've read together. Let's see. The elevation over angels is not a matter of physical strength, physical appearance, or might. It is a matter of God's given authority and dominion. Can we agree on that? So when we say we are more than angels, we are not talking about physical. We've read angels, they excel in strength. That's why they can rescue so swiftly. That's why they can deliver from an accident. That's why they can save you in a split of a second. They have such ability, such swiftness, such strength. That's why before a building collapses, that's why we can escape. It will pack everybody up. They have such strength. And we made that deliberately that way for us. Hallelujah. I will never be in trouble. The angels of God, they are working for me. The angels of God, they are fighting my cause. They are arranging things in my favor. Such is their assignment. They minister to those of us that will be heirs of salvation. So our elevation above them is not physical strength. So that's why we don't put, of course we labor, but it's not, they've, you know, these angels, they've got physical strength. Have you seen? We'll talk about that next week. Let's put the points together. Authority is not determined by appearance. You know that, right? Mm-hmm. Or by ability. But by divine appointment. And we said, those he that sanctify and him and we that have been sanctified, we are one. We've been appointed. He has declared us as brethren. So we are sons. And that places us in that pedestal of authority over the angels. So it's not about strength. They've got the strength. And that strength, we're going to read now, they are for us. So angels are created, point number two, angels are created with capacities suited to their God's given ministry. What I'm saying is angels, they are created that way because of their ministry. They can save. Have you wondered how that gate lifted on its own accord when angels came to set Peter free? All right? Somebody opened it. There's a force that opened it. All right. Hallelujah. All right. So he says he opened on his own accord. Those are the work of angels. They can make a way. Have you thought about the force that splitted the Red Sea like that? Those are works of angels. We're going to talk about that shortly. Okay. Not today, in our series today. In this. So the angels are created with capacities that is suited for their God-given ministry, and part of their ministry is to serve men, to serve me, to serve you and I, all right, the heirs of salvation. Their strength serves their assignment, and their assignment includes ministry to me. Hallelujah. Point number three. In Zion, angels are not rulers. They are ministers. Please, can we say that together? In Zion, angels are not rulers. They are ministers. Sent for my service. Hallelujah. So they are not ministers. They are not masters, rather. They are ministers. Their strength matches their ministry. Their strength matches their ministry. All right. So we don't worship angels. I think I've said that earlier. All right. But we understand their ministry so that we can properly engage that ministry of the angel. Bible says we've come to those companies of angels. All right. The last bit that I want to say here today, please, let's quickly project Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. Then we're going to go to 9 and 11. Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. The last point I want to make before we pray. We have great inheritance in Christ. We have come to Zion. We have come to an innumerable company of angels. All right? Psalm 91, look at it. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him, in whom I will trust. So when we've come to God, when we have become a believer, this is our Lord. Oh, look at verse 9 and 11, verse 9 to 11. In that Most High, in the presence of the Most High, in the kingdom, in the throne of God, see what he has said. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge? Now, verse 10 and 11, look at it. No evil shall befall you, nor any plague come near your dwelling. Amen. Why? Look at it. Why? For he shall. Do you see? So, for he shall give his angels charge of. So there are angels charge over me. All right? Just to keep you in all of your ways. That is what we have come to. That is what we have. Now, we've just built a premises for the study. All right? This is what we have come to in Zion. So we have angels that are, you may not know it. All right. Well, this is the essence of study. All right. That you can wake up in the morning. You can engage the ministry of angels because we have come to them. God said he gives angels and their strength. They are strong in their service, in their ministry. All right. And they have been made. They are macho. If I can put it that way, it matches what God wants. So God knows that there will be challenges in this world. God knows that there will be deliverances. All right, that will be needed. He knows that we need to be protected by wicked and unreasonable men. All right, that is where the angels come in. They deliver. They help. All right, they make a way. Hallelujah. All right, see, he says that no plague. They keep plagues away. All right, no evil. They keep evil away. Hallelujah. No plague can come near our dwelling place. See, the point is, many of us, we've enjoyed all of this without knowing. But there's something that knowledge does. It just helps you to better engage the things that we have. Have we have a nice study today? And we packed so many things together. We're going to continue on it again next week. Hallelujah.